Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Penny Nelson. Well, Governor Jerry Brown is leaving office with two big infrastructure projects unfinished. KQED's Katie Orr reports.
Brown's multi-billion-dollar, long-championed high-speed rail and Delta tunnels projects have both faced delays, cost increases, and court challenges. One would eventually connect San Francisco with San Diego, and the other would carry water from northern to southern California. But Brown remained optimistic when he was asked about the projects while speaking to the Sacramento Press Club Tuesday.
They'll be built, and they'll be built in a timely, responsible way.
Brown says the tunnels will help move water without destroying the fragile river delta running through the middle of the state. And he says high-speed rail is already creating thousands of good-paying construction jobs. Incoming Governor Gavin Newsom is expected to continue both projects, but has indicated he will reevaluate them when he takes office. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
On to the fires. This month marks 1 year since the Thomas Fire raged in and around Ventura County. Survivors are still rebuilding their homes and their lives. KPCC's Alyssa Jong Perry visited residents of rural Upper Ojai to see how they're coping.
Jessica Colborn grew up in this community perched above the more bustling, artsy town of Ojai. She drives me down a two-lane road pointing out landmarks of her childhood.
I grew up riding horses back in here. I rode horses at this ranch before they got it.
By that, got it, she means before the Thomas Fire burned the ranch down. Colborn holds back her emotions when she talks about the fire.
Yeah, this is home to me, so it was pretty heart-wrenching talking about things that are lost.
Things like her wedding dress.
My daughter will never have the opportunity to wear my wedding dress, unfortunately.
We turned down a small dirt road where her parents' house used to be. It was a big craftsman home with maple trees, the mountain as a backdrop.
This is their property. My dad's a contractor, so they had a big workshop here.
Colborn catches herself, had a big workshop there. Even though the fire was a year ago, she still hasn't fully adjusted to the reality that it's all gone. Her parents, Jake and Lori, are living in an RV on this land they bought back in 1977, where they raised Jessica and her brothers. Her dad, Jake, keeps remnants of things that burned, like metal scraps from a cherished birdhouse.
I'd rather not go over that stuff because that stuff makes me cry. I don't like to cry. I'm trying to get past that.
Like Jake, many of the fire victims in this tight-knit community want to get past the fire too. So to do that, Jessica formed the Survivor Circle. It's a group made up of about 15 to 20 survivors in Upper Ojai. They meet every third Sunday of the month just down the road from her parents' home. The group doesn't see this as therapy and doesn't really want outsiders to bother them.
It's just like a, hey friends, let's get together and have a set time, a set place, a set meal, and talk.
Trevor Quirk helps Jessica organize the community group. He says traditional methods of therapy aren't really welcome.
That's not what people want, and it doesn't work, at least up here.
But getting together with a group is what works for Jessica's dad, Jake.
The best thing is getting to know people, knowing that there are other people that are in the same boat as you are.
For the California Report, I'm Alyssa Jung Perry in Ojai.
Departing Central Valley Republican Jeff Denham is under consideration to take over the seat being vacated by outgoing Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke. This would also land Denham a spot in President Trump's cabinet. Representative Denham from the state's 10th district lost his reelection bid in November to Democrat Josh Harder. Denham's office confirmed with KQED that he's under consideration for the post and that they are working through the process. The Interior Secretary position requires confirmation by the Senate. Well, the Yemeni mother arriving tonight in the Bay Area to be with her dying 2-year-old son will get a chance to become a permanent resident. KQED's Angela Corral reports.
Shema Suila's son, Abdullah, has a rare brain disease. Her husband, a U.S. citizen, brought Abdullah to UCSF Benioff Children's Hospital in Oakland 2 months ago. The little boy is now on life support. Suila has been trying for nearly a year to come to the U.S. and was finally granted a visa waiver yesterday. She's from Yemen, one of the mostly Muslim countries whose citizens are currently barred from entering the United States.
It's very inhumane. I mean, this travel ban. It's a zero tolerance travel ban. It's racist and it's wrong. And it's un-American.
That's Congresswoman Barbara Lee, who helped lead the effort to get Sweela permission to come here.
It's so sad and so tragic that congressional intervention is necessary on something that is just plain right to do.
Saad Swalem, an attorney with the Council on American-Islamic Relations, says Sweela's visa will hopefully lead to a green card and one day, citizenship.
You know, this is the wife of an American citizen, the mother of an American citizen, and this is her new home, that she should be here with her family, and they should have the opportunity to mourn together when Abdullah does pass and have the opportunity to start a family, you know, continue their family and then live together going forward.
Sweela is expected to arrive at SFO this evening. For the California Report, I'm Angela Corral.
Shifting now to news of some recent marijuana research, a Marin County Medical Cannabis Coalition says it's found a way to increase production of a rare compound that could help with diabetes, anxiety, and other health issues. KQED's Hope McKinney has more.
THCV, or tetrahydrocannabivarin, is a non-psychoactive cannabinoid that comes from marijuana plants in sub-Saharan Africa. Out of the cannabinoids that are medically active in different marijuana plants, THCV is considered one of the rarest and is only found in small amounts.
It has many, many medical properties. The range includes everything from pain control and control of inflammation to control of weight, diabetes, and cholesterol.
That's Dr. Michael Moskowitz. He's the founder of the Medical Cannabis Research Consortium of Marin. He's been recommending medical cannabis to his patients since 2015. Now, researchers in Marin have developed four strains of the sub-Saharan plant with higher concentrations of the THCV compound. They hope that it will become as well known in the medical world as another cannabinoid called CBD, or cannabidiol, which is known for its pain-relieving and anti-inflammatory properties.
As of this time, THCV on its own is largely unproven with regard to its efficacy.
Paul Armentano is deputy director of NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. He says there are less than 100 studies that have been done on the compound.
As the science advances going forward to replicate these anecdotal claims in the lab, certainly it would be feasible to believe that this will become as popular as CBD or THC or some of these other niche cannabinoids.
Dr. Moskowitz and his team are now testing THCV's effects on patients with chronic conditions. For the California Report, I'm Hope McKinney.
All right, let's head outdoors now. Oysters have lived in the Monterey Bay Elkhorn Slough Reserve, which is an ocean inlet, for 8,000 years. Now, they're at risk of disappearing. So scientists are trying to save the species using aquaculture. KAZU's Erica Mahoney reports.
Wearing camouflage waders, Suzanne Fork trudges through soft mud on the shore of Elkhorn Slough. Fork is a research biologist. She's using a clicker to count the number of oysters living on rocks along the muddy bank. She counts about 200 at this spot.
It's really low. You can see many more that are gaping and open, so they're dead.
These are Olympia oysters, and they're the only native oyster on the West Coast. Oysters help keep the water clean by filtering it through their gills. Here in Elkhorn Slough, the population has been steadily declining since the 1920s. Back then, oystermen harvested them by the thousands, and the species has already gone extinct in other parts of California. Elkhorn Slough Reserve Research Coordinator Kirstine Wasson says there's several factors why the population is so small.
It's hard for any population once it drops below a few thousand to find mates and reproduce successfully.
They're also threatened by pollution, crabs, and can get buried in the mud and suffocate. Back in 2012, Wasson and her team tried protecting baby oysters with man-made habitats, but it only worked that year. And it was the last time she saw baby oysters in the slough. So researchers are trying something new, aquaculture. It's essentially farming in water and often used to grow seafood, including oysters. In this case, they're using it to save this struggling native species. Researchers took 50 adult oysters from the slough and helped them reproduce at Moss Landing Marine Labs.
Yeah, we actually have some right here.
That's Daniel Gossard. He's a graduate student at Moss Landing Marine Labs and spent the summer working with Olympia oysters.
And these oysters are smaller than what you would think of as the oyster that you eat. It's very bumpy. It's a little bit of a coppery green color.
In late October, volunteers transferred the young oysters to Elkhorn Slough. Research coordinator Kerstin Wasson checks on them along the muddy bank.
I'm peeking at some right now and they look great.
If the project works, Wasson says it could become a model for restoring Olympia oyster populations along the California coast. For the California Report, I'm Erica Mahoney.
Well, we all know the holidays can be overwhelming. Now imagine you're a recently arrived refugee with little to your name and landing in the Bay Area. One organization that's here to help is Jewish Family and Community Services East Bay. For more than 100 years, they've been working with refugees from all over the world, getting them started in their new lives. And right now, they're in the midst of their holiday giving program. Catherine Winogura, with their volunteer program, joins us to talk about how it's going this season.
Well, we have this year 170 of our newcomer client families receiving gifts. They fill out wish lists with the case managers and clinicians they work with through our agency. And I go out and find classrooms, scout troops, church groups, temple groups to sponsor these families and provide newly wrapped gifts and gift cards.
Now, this is a very multi-faith, multi-dimensional experience for them because you've got a Jewish organization servicing a lot of Muslim clients.
Correct.
For a Christian holiday.
That's exactly right. And we love to both giggle about it and be proud of it. So the newcomers that we resettle, many of them are from Afghanistan. These are people who served as translators, interpreters with our U.S. military and now have to come here for safety. And here we are at the holiday time where most of those groups are thinking of this as Christmas presents. It does not necessarily mean that those Muslim families are celebrating Christmas, but they know that it's an American holiday and that's what's going on here. That does not go missed by our clients about the kind of pulling together of different faiths and all getting along and sharing love together.
I also wonder, you know, nobody does excess like America. So have you run into situations where it's too much? It's just too much.
You know, what comes to mind when you ask that is the kinds of things that these families are asking for. We ask them to fill out wish lists ahead of time so that we try to get them exactly what they need. We see requests like a twin set of sheets, a blanket, a set of glasses, a gift card so they could go to Target and get what they really need. These are not families that even necessarily want a whole lot of toys for their kids. They're living in tiny apartments. So it really still kind of comes down to the basics.
And that's Catherine Winogura with the Jewish Family and Community Services East Bay. And you can go to their website for information on how to volunteer or contribute.
Support for the California Report comes from Collective Health. American employers are in the healthcare business. It's time they had the technology to drive it. CollectiveHealth.com. Paint Care. Through Paint Care, paint manufacturers make it easier for households and businesses to recycle leftover house paint with over 800 convenient drop-off locations around California. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
And that's the California Report for Wednesday, December 19th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Penny Nelson. Have a great day.